Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Dude, if winter's not over, I'm going to start to murder.
So we were looking at the weather last night.
Dude, I'm serious.
And in the next 10 days, the coldest temperature is 31 degrees.
Dude, we went Sunday. Layla had a soccer tournament. Uh-huh. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday morning, 60 degrees.
Yeah.
Fantastic. 3 o'clock,
20.
Snowing. 20.
Yep.
Monday morning, 10. Tuesday morning, 12. Today's Wednesday.
Well, Tuesday morning, 12. Tuesday afternoon, snowing.
It snowed yesterday afternoon. Dude,
and then it's supposed to be 70-something today.
I know. I sound like a crotchety old man. I'm sick of the fucking winter weather.
Yep.
Dude, I'm ready for sunshine, sundresses, bikinis, days on the water, windows down. I'm over it.
Yep. I'm ready to cruise around the lake and stare at my wife's ass on the boat. That's what I'm ready for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Have her bring some friends.
Yeah, they do sometimes. One of the funniest times on the boat was we have this one friend that's real wild. Party girl. Parties all over. Like, she's settling down now. She got a boyfriend and she's all like settling down. But
Those are the girls that like, oh, I'm settling down and I have a boyfriend. And then like they get serious and then they run around on him because they're bored.
No, she's definitely not the type to run around.
Okay.
Yeah. But she's wild and going to have fun. So first day on the boat. With her. And we're all partying and everything else. I don't think so.
Okay.
But Danielle's like got her phone out and she's kind of panning around, just filming everything. And she pans over to our friend and our friend pulls her top down and is like showing her fake tits, right? Well, the next person over is Mason sitting right next to her.
First off,
the look on Mason's face is like, I want to look, but I can't look, but I want to look, but I can't look. That's my mom filming me right now.
That's, I mean, I don't want to say that's bad parenting, but it's questionable parenting.
Hey, it wasn't our choice. And it's not like I'm going to be like, put your tits away. That's bad parenting.
That's the questionable parenting part.
But like we go to the Lake of the Ozark shootout
stories,
every year.
Stories like this are why I'm not allowed to go out with you by myself, you know, unsupervised.
We go to the Lake of the Ozark shootout every year. And most of it, like we go with a big group of people. It's three boats worth of people. The boats are loaded. It's just a party fest all day long, right? Nobody else brings their kids. We bring ours.
Another questionable parenting decision, okay.
The idea is like, they're going to see it eventually. At least let them see it and how we handle it responsibly.
Oh, you don't want them growing up thinking that's normal.
Oh, no. They know it. They know it's only the shootout. Because, like, we go on the lake all the time, and it's water sports and fun, but the shootout is like, ain't nobody surfing. Might as well take the surf racks off the boat. Like, you're not going to use them.
Oh, my God.
It's just party it up. So, yeah, it's rather interesting, and we've already got all of our accommodations set for this year. I got three trips to Lake of the Ozarks planned so far this year.
You know, you don't have to go for the shootout. You could just go.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
You know. Are you going to Brady's?
So, yeah.
Our friend Brady's?
We got Man Weekend at the lake.
Okay.
We got the shootout. And then they're doing another thing. Malibu is putting on a thing called Surf Fest.
Oh, gotcha.
And it's a surf contest, but for all age groups. Like, they tell you that if you can drop the rope on a surfboard, you can enter the contest. They have a class for you if you can drop the rope.
I couldn't even get up on the surfboard.
But
I was also completely canned, but
they said that it's set up to where, like, skillful kids can compete with their non-skillful parents and everybody still have fun.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to get Danielle to do it. She won't, but I'm going to try.
So, but yeah, we'll be down there for Surf Fest, for the shootout, and then for Man Weekend at the Lake.
Nice.
So, Man Weekend at the Lake's always kind of sketchy because it's the weekend before Memorial Day.
Sometimes.
It's the weekend before Mother's Day.
Well, sometimes it's really cold.
The weekend before Mother's Day. And you get some questionable.
Yeah.
The water's never hot.
No, the water's always cold.
But sometimes you get some questionable weather.
That's fishing weather.
So, yeah.
Not surf weather. Why doesn't he just move it back so it's nice and warm?
I don't know. It's the...
What the hell's the matter with him?
Well, he Airbnbs that place, and that's like his dead weekend.
Oh, but have everyone chip in.
Yeah. Oh, no, we all do.
Well, then what the...
And what's crazy is it's crazy freaking cheap. Like, he'll have me send him my fuel bill for the boat, and everybody that bought food... Because it's like
just divides it up.
Yeah, he just adds everything, divides it up by all the people, and it's like, okay, everyone shares $86 for your whole weekend at the lake.
Yes.
Yeah, but they'll do like a big pork butt roast. Half these guys that go are on a competition barbecue team.
Yeah, I know Brady does. And loves
so
to smoke.
Yeah, so they'll do. All kinds. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
So
one of these times I'm gonna get to go.
Yeah.
Wait, it conflicts with Layla's fucking tournament's travel schedule.
Yeah, well.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
I'll
send you an invite. How about that?
Brady texted me last year personally and said,
I'll
hey,
send you an invite for I just when want it is. It's already
know,
on my calendar. So I'll
I want
send
you,
you
to know you are invited. I said, yeah, I know. I'm just schedule, man.
I'm a loser. I'm a good dad.
Luckily, what you think doesn't matter. So, you know, but yeah, I am just what I was saying. I'm just ready for summer. Hopefully it's right. Dude, it's right around the corner, bud.
Yep.
Are we going to try to go to the Carolinas this year and watch a race?
Yes. We totally should.
I'm going to 100% put you on the spot and throw you under the bus here. I may or may not have dedicated money to sponsoring part of that car. So.
Yeah, I know. Just don't do the hood.
I'm not.
Do like the roof or the trunk.
I think we're going to do rocker panels.
Or do the passenger side door.
Winninginthetrades.com.
Love it.
You're welcome.
Love it.
I went against my gut.
Well, he already had a ChatGPT, like you bought the whole car sponsorship thing made up.
Yeah.
He showed you what a Tradewinds race car would look like.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. It didn't. No, I'm out.
Yeah.
I can do a rocker panel.
We sponsor that micro sprint for the plumbing company. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
People are wondering, they're listening. They're like, what the hell are we talking about? We have a buddy, Joe, who's in Tradewinds. He bought himself a roundy round car.
And he's going to race five races at Bowman Gray Stadium this year.
I think we're going to sponsor his rocker panels.
And if you don't know what Bowman Gray is, look it up. It's basically, what's he say, 30 cars?
I don't remember. It depends on which race it is.
It's somewhere around 30 cars. The track is the size. It's a quarter mile track.
It's tiny.
It's the size of your high school running track that goes around the football field.
Yeah.
It's literally that size. And it's that wide.
I'm actually excited to... We're going to try to go.
If you go three wide on that track, somebody's in the infield.
I tell Janine all the time, like, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this. And she's not excited about any of it. And I said, hey, we're going to go watch Joe race. And she was like, oh, hell yeah.
Well, yeah, she grew up racing.
Yeah, her dad raced NHRA side races, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell. I think he was super gas or something. But anyways, yeah. She was like, oh, yeah, okay. I was like, oh, finally a win.
Finally, yeah.
One good idea out of 150. All right. Hopefully we can make that happen. That'll be fun.
Should be.
That'll be a lot of fun. It'll be summer. It'll be warm.
Yep.
Dude, bay fishing or ocean fishing is right there.
Yeah.
It's like 2 hours away.
Yeah. I'm
Joe said
I'm
anytime.
Geographically ignorant when it comes to that area.
Really?
Yeah. Like the Carolinas, Virginia, Tennessee's.
Okay. So you know where Washington, D.C. is.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia underneath that. North Carolina underneath that.
Right.
South Carolina underneath that.
Well, I mean,
the north
I know, but
and
like,
south helps.
Right. Thanks. Still can't figure out where Old Mexico is, but we got a new one.
You know where old Mexico is. It's called Tijuana.
No, like whenever you start going like east and west, and it's more like cities. It's like I understand where the states lay out.
Oh, you don't understand where Raleigh is.
Yeah, like you tell me Raleigh, and I'm like, is that near the coast or is that way inland? Right?
Yeah,
and I get next you. Week we're going to Maryland with one of our clients and doing like a kind of a business makeover thing for them. And like I understand Maryland's split by this big giant bay. And so when I'm telling people about it, I'm like, I don't know what you call it, but we're on the east side of the bay, the sliver of Maryland. And they were like, we call that the East Shore. And I'm like, okay, cool. That's where we're going.
Did you know that that is, I think, actually split into two states too?
Yes. Yeah. There's another state.
I didn't know that.
Yep. I do know that.
I don't, you know that I don't handle dense populations well.
Yep.
We'll see how I handle it. I'm probably going to have
I want to see how you handle the bridge that we have to drive over.
I am going to
I don't know what
the
bridge is named, but it's this. I'm going to look it up. It's
I've rented the
scariest
the car.
Bridge in the world, apparently.
I've rented the car, but I'm putting your name on it and you're driving. I'm navigating only. I can't drive and then listen to you fucking tell me where to go. I'll drive right off the fucking bridge on purpose and fucking kill us all.
I typed Maryland Bridge and it pulled up dental repairs.
That's fucking weird.
What is this bridge?
Well, bridge is a dental procedure. If you have a bridge. Hello, McFly.
Oh, I'm here.
McFly.
Delaware is, by the way, the other thing that it shares.
Yeah, Maryland, and then Delaware's on the
William
east
Preston
side.
Lane Jr. Memorial Bridge.
Let me see the picture. Flip your phone around.
That's a long fucking bridge.
Yeah, we're staying right here. You and I are staying right here.
Cool.
We're staying at Kent Island.
It crosses... Oh, that's the Chesapeake Bay. Okay. And do we have any like quick things of how long? It's like miles long.
Yeah. Why is it scary?
It's a dual span bridge, and it's one of the longest in the world, stretching over Chesapeake Bay.
What is your point? That it's scary and it's long?
Yes, apparently it's
one of... I
don't
understand. Why is it sketchy?
Apparently it's one of the scariest bridges in America.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It'll be fine.
Then, I mean, if we have fun with that, we'll have to go down to George Diaz and go across that Lake Pontchartrain Bridge. That is the longest bridge in America.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't talked to George in a while.
It's
I
not,
miss him.
It's not Florida Keys long because Florida Keys is like, there's islands along the way.
First off, I would never live in the Florida Keys. You can't get out of there unless you got a plane. Like, I'd be, you know what I mean?
Yeah, somebody crashes on that bridge, you're stuck.
Like, being, the feeling of being trapped.
Yeah.
It's like the feeling of drowning. I'm out. Yeah. I just, nope.
That's why I don't want to live on a coast. Like, being in the middle of America, I can go any direction anytime I want. Living on a coast, I'm kind of limited. Like let's say I lived in California. I can't go left.
I can't. I think you mean west, but whatever.
But like, you just feel like you're living on an edge of something.
I don't think...
You know what I mean?
As long as I can go one way or the other, I'm fine. I'm more of, if someone blows this bridge, I can never leave. And that freaks me out.
Like True Lies.
Great movie. Great movie.
Yep.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about today, buddy?
Today,
people are probably tired of hearing us babble about racing and fishing and all that kind of fun stuff.
Today we're going to talk about how in business you can literally do anything you want. And
okay.
What this means is like we place so many limiting beliefs on ourselves. And you combine that with limiting our creativity, and you combine that with giving up at the first ounce of failure, and that's why most people aren't where they want to be. And where this kind of spawned from was Danielle and I were talking last week at date night about it was a really cool conversation because she was kind of talking about like having like Elon Musk kind of money to where like you could literally just do whatever you want. And the conversation very quickly turned into most people want that kind of money, but most people don't want the work ethic and the discipline it takes to achieve that kind of money. And they don't want the sacrifice that it takes to achieve that. And so, and she wholeheartedly agreed. And she's like, yeah, that's, I mean, I don't miss that. Like, I don't, I'm not mad I don't have it because I recognize what you have to do to have it. But she's like, it would be kind of cool to,
yeah,
to be able to just solve problems with money, right? And so we see it a lot in Tradewinds. We see it a lot in just business in general, where people say they want something, and on the surface they probably do want it, but
no,
they
that's
want,
not a lie. They want it.
They want the result. They don't want the work that goes into it. And so like 2 years ago, I guess maybe now almost 3 years ago, I don't know. When did we go on the ski trip? And I got COVID before the ski trip.
2 years ago.
2 years
ago. Well, 3 years now because we
didn't
go this year.
Yeah, because we didn't go this year. Right. So yeah, 3 years ago.
We all had it like right before we left.
Yeah.
But you had it like the week before.
Yeah, I had to, I was doing 75 hard.
Yeah.
And I had to quit 75 hard because one of the ways to feed or one of the ways to get over a virus is you just have to feed your body.
Yeah.
Give your body the nutrients it needs to fight the virus.
Well, you can't starve your body.
Yeah. And
which is what you were
through
doing.
Through 75 hard, yeah. I was starving my body. And so it's like, man, we got this cool ski trip coming up and I am going to be in no condition for the ski trip if I don't get healthy.
Yeah.
And no, I guess it wasn't COVID. I think it was influenza B or something like that.
I don't remember, but you were sick.
But
as
I was
fuck.
Sick.
We didn't podcast for 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
You were sick as fuck.
But I got all the way down to a six pack and I was like 41 years old or 40 years old or something like that. And, like I had made the, like I wanted to be a 40-year-old with a six pack. And a lot of people say, yeah, I want to be a 40-year-old with a six pack, but then they won't, they'll go on one walk and be like, well, that sucks. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah, it does suck.
They'll eat their diet for like 1 day.
Yeah.
And then give up.
And realize, man, tacos are delicious.
They'll go to the gym like once or twice or maybe even for a week. And then after a week of going to the gym and all their joints hurt and their muscles hurt, they convince themselves, yeah, the six pack ain't worth it.
Well, and they don't convince themselves. They may just realize it's not worth it.
Could be.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm not trying to judge anybody that doesn't have a six pack. Hell, I don't have one anymore.
It's
right.
It really comes down to how much do you want it?
How much do you want it?
How
and
hard?
How hard are you willing to work for it, right?
Yeah.
And we have a short that came across my memories that kind of inspired this. Where we're talking about like champions find a way where there is no way. Champions never give up. And if anything, they'll kill themselves searching for a way. And I've been watching a lot of movies lately where there is a definite champion that like endured pain and discipline to achieve what they wanted to achieve. And
been watching a lot of TV lately.
No, these are movies, not TV.
Same difference.
One of them was American Made with Tom Cruise. Where he's
the pilot?
Yeah.
I never saw that. Is it good?
Watched it last night. It's good.
I'll watch it.
He's very resilient. And now granted, what he's doing is bad stuff, but he's still a champion in the bat. Like Pablo Escobar is a champion in his realm.
Of being a criminal. Yeah.
Right, right. And so another movie was Nuremberg.
Oh, that's good.
A great movie.
I've seen that. That's
great
really
great movie. And I mean, those guys are champions for evil.
Yeah.
But you're still like that movie really, if you haven't seen it, there's real actual footage of the concentration camps and what they were doing with the piles of bodies.
Yeah.
In
the
movie.
It's horrible. It's hard to watch.
It's hard to watch.
It's hard to watch.
But I've often said, like you get asked all the time, like if you could have a meal with one person alive or dead, or you could spend a day with one person alive or dead, who would it be? And it sounds crazy, but I would probably spend the day with Hitler. And it's not because I want to recreate what he did, right? What he did was evil and sick and everything else. But you can't discount the leadership ability it took for him to convince that many people in the layers.
I'm not spending my day with Hitler.
Like I would love to say I'd spend it with Elon Musk, but he thinks on such a different level that I don't know if I would comprehend half of what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm picking Jesus, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Perspective, dog.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
But like
all the things that you don't understand, like, okay, now is my time to ask these questions right now.
Yeah.
This is where I'm going.
Tell me about this Moses guy. Was it low tide, or did he really split the sea?
That's not the question I'm asking. Oh, my God.
Tell me about this water to wine.
I'm thinking that I'm asking that question for
sure.
He's
like, no, they twisted the story. She was stomping grapes, making wine. She got dehydrated, so he gave her water, and the story became she turned water into wine.
No, I'm not like, going to say that, but...
I'm not trying to discredit the Bible.
I know.
I'm just saying,
it is funny, yeah. But
there's
some matter.
quick Jesus joke, by the way.
Oh no!
Do you know why all?
I don't want to stab you.
Do you know why all? If you're watching this on YouTube, get ready for a laugh. But
do you want me to stab you?
Do you know why all the ladies wanted to get with Jesus?
Why?
Because he was hung like this.
Oh, dude. Stop. You're going to hell for that. Yeah. At least one day.
Do you know what puppies and nearsighted gynecologists have in common?
Oh, they use their tongue to taste it?
Both have a wet nose.
Dude, that's fucked up.
So, anyway.
You know, I used to complain about your dad jokes. Could you go back to just the dad jokes?
These are bad.
That's horrible. I'm offended.
Yeah, good.
Good.
I've done my podcast over. Done my job.
And that's it for today.
No, like all of these people in history that have done these incredibly notable things, they dedicated a portion of their life to doing the one thing. Full-blown dedication. And, I mean, Musk broke up with, like, divorced one of his wives over going to Mars.
Yeah.
He's like, I went to her and I said, I want to go to Mars. If you're not fully on board with that, then we should just get divorced now. It was that can't, like, he knew that he was going to have total focus into developing SpaceX to get to Mars. So, and he's still not there.
I don't see him going, but.
No, I mean, that is his life's mission, is to colonize Mars. And if you think about it, this is how fucking smart Musk is.
I understand that, but by now he should have at least gone to the moon as a trial, and they haven't even fucking attempted to.
For some reason, he thinks going to the moon is a waste, and I think that's why we've never gone back, although we're getting ready to again,
I think
by
that's
the way.
A diversion, but I don't want to get completely off topic.
But you look at Musk, and Mars, there's no fossil fuels on Mars, so what do you need? Batteries.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, and
you've
got
to develop everything that it takes and put the infrastructure in place to get there.
Yeah, so he's built these businesses that are worth billions that collectively gave him the knowledge, the experience, the expertise, the staff, the notoriety, the confidence for investors, to where when he goes to Mars, he has ways to generate alternative power. They're probably not going to be able to live on the surface of Mars because of the lack of atmosphere, so they're going to need tunnels. Well, he has a tunnel machine, like a boring company. You know, all basically, if you like all of his satellites.
Just build a fucking biosphere, dog.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand.
But like all of his companies are dominoes tipping over, leading to him colonizing Mars. And
I don't think he's going to do it, but.
I don't know. Maybe.
How old is he? 50? Nah, he's got to be 55.
Late 40s?
Dude, we're mid-40s.
I know. I don't think he's much older than we are.
God, that makes me feel like a piece of shit.
Now I gotta ask.
Now you got to ask.
He looks great for his age, no matter what he is, because if you can imagine the stress that he's under.
Yeah, I mean, a guy saying that, you know, is also
he's 54. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say he's got to be older than that, dude.
Yeah. But in other words, nobody told him no. Like, he just dedicated everything to it, right? One of the next documentaries I want to watch is Jim Carrey playing Steve Jobs. And I think the I think it's a movie called Jobs. But
was that Jim Carrey?
I think it's Jim Carrey.
I've never seen
the trailer is him talking on a corded telephone, the classic 80s telephone, corded 80s telephone.
We should go back to that.
And he's talking on the phone with investors. And they were like, do you use a typewriter? Yeah. Okay. Imagine merging your typewriter with your television. And they hang up on him. like you're fucking crazy, right?
You crazy son of a bitch.
Yeah. But like, again, Steve Jobs is another one, right? And of course, there's all these big, massive people out there. But for the small scale guy, the guy that wants to start his own plumbing company, HVAC company, electrical company, power washing, tile, whatever your trade may be, you can absolutely do it as long as you recognize upfront that it will be 3 to 5 times harder than you ever imagined. And those things that you think, well, I'm not going to give up. If I come across this hurdle, I'm not going to stop.
And half as rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Can right? be. There are moments.
You're not going to be.
There are serious fucking moments.
Yeah. You're not buying an estate in Palm Springs because you started a $2 million trades business. Right? And there's that's another big
delusion in
today's society is they see the one guy that rented an exotic car for a Instagram post. And if you buy my course, I'll teach you how I do all this and everything else. And it doesn't work, right? And although that one guy, like you're Dan Brazilian or whatever, like that.
I don't know who you're talking about, Bubba.
Oh, no, he's big on he's calmed down a lot, but he was kind of like the world playboy for a while. Like he's always on yachts with naked chicks or chicks in bikinis, and they're all over him. And he's the center of attention. But
I mean, I understand the vision, but I don't know who he is.
Like,
I wish I did. Now I feel lost.
To get to, like, you have to have global money to get to that level. Right. Yeah. And so, for one, get that shit out of your head. Yeah. Right.
You're not talking the top 5%.
Right.
You're talking the top 0.01%.
You go build a $3 to $5 million home service company, and you're looking at, like, living in a $500,000 to $750,000 house, you're looking at owning $100,000 to $200,000 cars, right? Like, let's just bring this into perspective.
I can get the notes out.
You're not gonna have a barn dominium stacked with exotics at a $3 to $5 million home service company. It's just not gonna happen. So for one, get your goals in order, but for two, realize that you can do anything you put your mind to. Just recognize that your mind doesn't even know the work it's going to take yet. And so you can't necessarily commit to this predetermined amount of work. You have to commit to the predetermined idea that no matter what it takes, you will never get up, or you will never give up. And every time you're knocked down, you will get back up again. And when you leverage darn near your whole company on this idea and it doesn't work, and now you want to throw in the towel, you can't.
Yeah.
Or when you're about ready to hire the guy that you think is going to set your company on this right trajectory, and you hire him, and then you come to find out he was embezzling money and killing your company. You can't give up. And I'm not, that's not happened to me, but I'm just saying these are things that happen, right? I know plenty of people that have been in a financial role in a company and were embezzling money. And that's not to say I know the people directly, but I know the companies that were a result of that. I know one person that did it, and they still have not gotten caught. But
we'll rat them out.
Nah, not my place. But like that stuff happens.
Yeah.
What, you were
no. I was just. It made me curious because I look at numbers a lot. To be in the top 5% of earners in the U.S., you got to be bringing between 300 and 350K a year.
Yeah.
To be in the top 5% of net wealth, you've got to be between 1 and 3.8 million.
Right.
In now, net wealth. Like, and those are, the yearly income number is tough, but the net worth number isn't tough.
You just got to start small or start young.
Yeah, you just got to start young to get there.
Yeah.
But people still have this illusion, like you're saying, that, and we've talked about this before, the social media, you know, comparing yourself to everyone you see on social media. First off, half of that shit's fake, okay?
Yeah.
The other half is people are embellishing. Like, it doesn't give a real sense of reality.
Yeah.
And what, quote unquote, success in middle America is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, success in middle, if you're making 200K a year, you're killing it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you're going to be living on a private island somewhere either.
Right.
So don't, what you, to your point, don't misconstrued what you see as success with what actual success is, and let it either motivate you, I'm sorry, don't let it demotivate you to the point where you don't even try.
Yeah.
I guess is my point.
Yeah. And some of that is like, I've naturally come this way. We've talked about this before on the show about how I don't geek out around celebrities, and I rarely ever even take a picture with the celebrities or of the celebrity.
I couldn't even tell you a celebrity I've met.
The only celebrity I've taken a photo of was David Goggins.
Oh, you told us a few shows ago.
Yeah, and that one was because I was at a very interesting low point in my life, and I met David Goggins was like, his whole mantra is like I've said this before, I'll say it again. When he was going through Bud's training, everyone talks about how difficult Bud's training is. He has a completely different perspective on it.
First off, what's Bud's training?
Navy SEALs.
Okay.
When he was going through Bud's training, everyone talks about like how grueling it is, how difficult it is, and all of that stuff. He talked about it in the fractions of a second. And I cannot remember the exact numbers that he gave, but it was like it was like a million fractions of a second. And he's looking at it like, I've made it through 100,000 fractions of a second. And everyone's kind of like, what do you mean fractions of a second? And he goes, well, that's all it takes to give up. He says, when you're under that much pressure and that sleep deprived and you're watching people drop like flies next to you, you could be, within a matter of minutes, you could go from, I am completing this journey, I am graduating Buds, I'm going to be a fucking Navy SEAL, to just within a matter of minutes, you're now dropping out yourself.
Yeah.
And it's because you're on a run or a ruck and three people just dropped out because they passed out or whatever. And you're trying to use that as motivation. Well, then you inhale a bug in your mouth when you were already short for breath anyway. And now you inhale a bug and now you're choking, and that knocks your confidence down just a touch.
Yeah.
And then in the midst of the choking, you're having to sit there with your hands on your knees while the rest of your platoon is like running on, and you're going to have to catch back up to them. And now you're like running to catch up to them, and now you turn your ankle on a rock that you didn't see. And all of those little things are just knocking you down a peg and knocking you down a peg. And then all of a sudden you have one fraction of a second where doubt creeps in and you give up. And yeah. So he looked at it in small little tiny slivers like that of like, I just got to make it to the next fraction of a second.
Without giving up. Yeah.
And it's not about how much time I have completed. It's not about how much time I have left. It's about the fractions of a second that I just dominated and the next fractions of a second that are coming up. And like little things like that in business are huge. You got to get used to being told no, right? Let's say you want to go buy your first van. And you go to a bank and you apply for a loan and they say no.
Yeah.
How many people are like, well, I guess business ownership isn't for me?
Well, and they're just so discouraged by the moment And then they take everything that that person said to heart, and they're like, I'm just not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
I can't. There's no way I can go to another bank and take this level of disappointment again.
Yeah.
Sure you can.
Yeah.
You're not going
to
die.
You can be told no by 100 banks, and the 101st one says yes.
Yeah.
And that legitimately happened in our business. We wanted to upgrade our fleet, so I bought my first van financed. I bought the next two vans cash. Those vans were too small. We needed to upgrade the size of the vans. So I went to the company that I had been banking with that have seen all of our cash flow and everything for the company. It was BOK Financial, Bank of Oklahoma, here in Kansas City, of all places. But I went to BOK Financial, and I'm like, hey, we want to trade in our three vans for three new ones, but these new ones, now it's COVID pricing and everything else. These new ones are 70 grand, so I need loans. And they said, absolutely no. And it, like, this is my bank that I've banked with for a year and a half, 2 years. They've seen the cash flow. They've seen stacks of cash showing up. And then I'm reinvesting that back into the business and all of this stuff. They've seen all that.
Yeah.
And they told me no. I went to a bank that I've never set foot in before, that I've never done anything with. They're right down the block. And they were like, yeah, how many loans do you want? And they gave me,
take our money.
They gave me five loans.
Yeah.
BOK Financial wouldn't even give me one, right? Now, if I would have given up after BOK, like, if I would have taken it to heart that, like, man, they know all my finances. That was my best shot at getting a loan. And they said no. So I don't stand a chance with any of these other banks.
Yeah.
If I would have let that discourage me, that's the fraction of a second I would have given up. And my company's trajectory would have forever been altered. Yeah. Right?
Persistency is a real thing, man.
Very real
thing. You
can
develop it.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say this on the show. I bought that car, right?
Yep.
Same thing happened to me. We have Hagerty Insurance on our 68 Camaro. That's a great restored car, right?
Yep.
I think I am their customer. I'm going to call them and get insurance on this car. Yep. I call them. They tell me no. I'm like, what do you mean no? Well, you've never had a supercar before. What do you mean?
Look at my driving record.
I was like,
look at my insured asset value that you guys currently have.
It's like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, this 25-year-old kid or 30-year-old kid that I'm talking to on the phone literally is telling me no.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't realize this maybe until this moment. Like, I have kind of put myself on a little bit of a pedestal. Like, it was a very humbling moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so mad I can't see straight. This kid's like, no. We're not going to do it. I literally sat in my office and I was like, well, maybe this is a sign. Maybe I shouldn't get it. Maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe I shouldn't do that and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, it's the devil and the angel on your shoulder thing. No, you told yourself you're going to do this.
Yep.
So are you going to do it or you're not? Well, I don't know. I just don't know if I can afford it. Maybe I'm making a mistake here. Maybe this is, you know, a sign that I shouldn't be doing it. Sat there for a long time, maybe an hour.
Yep.
I was like, no, fuck that dude.
Yeah.
And I got on the phone immediately with everyone I knew that had anything to do with insurance.
Yep.
I mean, literally, all it would have taken was that 1 millisecond for me to say, nope.
Yeah.
Nope, I'm not going to do it. And then quit up and then quit on like a dream I've had. You know this. We've talked about it on the show for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
That I've been saving up for something nice that was for me.
Yeah.
I could have just given up on that.
Yeah.
2.5-year-old dream just gone.
Yeah. And you called me before you bought it, and you were asking me to talk you off the ledge.
I was asking you to talk me out of it.
Yeah. And what did I say?
Get the goddamn thing. I think is where your exact words.
I said, you're going to be mad at me, but I ain't talking you off of it. I'm going to encourage you to buy it.
Yeah.
And you were like, what do you mean? You're supposed to be my voice of reason. And I'm like, yeah. You've worked way too hard for way too fucking long.
It was a great conversation.
And
I hung up the phone. If you want to know the truth, I hung up the phone, and I was like, he's fucking right.
Yeah.
Like, okay, all right, he's right.
There's a difference between being foolish with your money and then using your money to purchase things that push you to work even harder and push you to drive even harder. And so what I mean by that is, like, we've talked about this before, too.
Yeah.
Like, some guys think their wife has a spending problem, and I always flip it. Some wives do have a spending problem, but I always flip it and say, what if she doesn't have a spending problem? What if you have an earning problem? And it's just a hypothetical scenario, but like, let your wife's spending, like, money is one of the top three things people fight about in marriages.
Oh, yeah.
Let that inspire you to where you make enough to where your wife can live that, right? Retiring your wife and retiring your parents is one of those things that's huge, right? And so, you know, it's kind of weird. Life is a lot, even at its longest, life is incredibly short.
Oh, man.
And
it's over.
Yeah. You go, let's say 0 to 18 to 20.
Seems like an eternity.
Almost doesn't even count.
No, because you're dumb as fuck.
You're dumb. You're learning. You're living on somebody else's coattails.
Yeah.
Right? It's like being a cat. You're jobless. Food just shows up. The house is the right temperature.
Well, you and I live different childhoods, but yeah. You know, for the majority of the, yes, you are correct.
Yeah. But then in your young adult years, let's say 20 to 35, those are your earning years. And unfortunately, today's culture is they want to live lavish in those years. And most people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to earn during those years, and they spend too much time trying to live lavish. I'll carry on to that in a second, but for now, a quick word from our sponsor. Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. It's got advanced features to run your CRM, your estimates and invoices, your scheduling and dispatching. It'll provide good, better, best proposals. It'll run your maintenance plans, and it'll even import the Tradewinds pricebook. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with the software you're currently using, like QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC, so you can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you work. And by simplifying your day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just David and I saying this. Field Pulse has earned an average 4.8-star rating across over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's FieldPulse.com. Or you can click on the link in the description of this show, and you can get some The Void exclusive promotions.
Offers. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. I want to say, just going back for a second, you know, you talked about you and your wife talking about, you know, having the lavish lifestyle that Elon Musk has and mm-hmm. having all that money, right? I think all of it kind of ties together, and I'm going to try to tie it together, and you're going to obviously have to help me probably, but what you were saying about people not wanting to put in the effort to get that money, 100% true, right?
Yeah.
People that don't, how do I say this? People that don't want to put in the effort to get that money are also, or to get to whatever level they can get to, are also just generally not happy individuals anyway. Like, we have to have purpose and drive,
mm-hmm.
right? But people want to put in just enough effort to where they're barely comfortable, and then they let off the throttle.
Yeah.
Because they feel like they need the me time, or I've earned this, or whatever.
Self-care.
Right?
Self-care.
You know what I mean?
Self-care is the most triggering,
I know, it's fucking insane,
reason for laziness out there ever.
And they just won't push. And how I've always viewed it was, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it to the best that I can.
Right.
I'm going to work as hard as possible. I'm going to put my all into it. And I guess my point is, if you're going to have to give the minimum effort anyway, just to quote unquote get comfortable or not be homeless or whatever, it's only another 20% of effort to
yeah.
give everything you got.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We have a client in Tradewinds, new client, just had their first coaching call with them, and they are they're doing between $1 and $2 million a year in revenue, but their net profit is
a little lower.
Way low. Like 2 to 3% net profit. And so they're thinking that they need this massive turnaround to solve this problem. And by the time we got done explaining it to them, we're talking a couple of minor tweaks, and their net profit is going to go from 2 to 3% to 12 to 13%, like overnight. and a couple of more tweaks, and we're going to get it up to 20%.
And 20% is the goal.
20% is the goal. And so, but they're thinking like all this doom and gloom and everything else. And after we have a couple of conversations with them and just point out a few things, it's a couple of tiny little tweaks. And some of it is tweaks as simple as changing who you process credit cards with. In so like credit card processing, that's one of the biggest fixed expenses in a company, right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of your CRM platforms, your Service Titans, your House Call Pros, your Field Pulses, your Service Fusions, your Jobbers, all of those will offer credit card financing. It's a bolt-on service to their CRM. They're all charging you way too much.
Yeah, most of them are 3.5 to 4.25, somewhere in that range, depending on what all they're doing for you.
Yeah.
You know, a swipe is this, a punch in is this. You know.
Yeah, and so we use Empower Payments in our plumbing company, and we average like just a touch over 2% every month, and they don't do a whole like a fixed 3.5%. Theirs is dynamic based off of the card that was used and based off of how the card was ran. Was it swipe, dipped, or chipped? Or tapped? Swipe, dipped, or tapped? And so because of those dynamics, for instance, if you're doing a chip read on a debit card, that is a lot cheaper of a run than a swipe on an Amex. And so most of your CRMs are just going to charge you like 3.5 or 4% across the board, even if your clients are using the cheapest methods and the cheapest cards available. And so that little decision right there saves significant amounts of money.
Yeah, what's 1% of $1 million?
Yeah.
It's a fuck ton.
Right. And so like it's not uncommon at all for a company to run $500,000 a year through a credit card processor.
Yeah.
Okay.
And not even a big company.
And so if you're $500,000 a year and you're spending an average of 3.5%,
here we go. Someone's got the calculator out.
500,000 times 0.035. That is $17,500 in credit card processing fees.
Okay.
Okay. Take that 0.035 and drop it down to 2. That's $10,000 a year in credit card processing fees.
$7,000 of pure profit.
That is $7,000. You change nothing in your business other than who you run credit cards through. And you just made an extra $7,000 of pure profit.
Yeah.
What will $7,000 buy your business? $7,000 will be a down payment on a truck that can now bring in another $350,000 in revenue. $7,000 can buy half the inventory for a truck, for a plumbing truck. $7,000 might buy all the inventory for an HVAC truck.
Yeah, depends. But
$7,000 would definitely buy all the inventory for an electrical truck, right? And so it's little decisions like that that make massive changes in your business performance. And so I'm not just saying this because I'm like trying to pimp Empower Payments. There's a reason we let Empower Payments sponsor this show. It's because they're badass. And how Empower Payments works, it's kind of funny because we were talking about this at the beginning of the show. I have a friend of mine that I went to college with. His name's Brady. He's the voiceover ad that you hear in this show.
Good
for
dude.
Empower Payments.
Family guy, too.
He used to be the vice president of a large credit card processing company that was based out of Kansas City. He also did a lot of real estate investing. He retired. He's my age. He retired from his vice president job and focused solely in real estate. Real estate market got a little wonky. He was big into mobile home parks, trailer parks. Local legislature started clamping down on trailer parks hardcore. You can't build new trailer parks. So they're now a high value commodity because if they're there, they stay, but you can't build a new one.
Yeah.
And if you get rid of one, now there's just one less in the market. And so that started getting a little wonky. Well, he passed his 2-year non-compete, and so he created Empower Payments. And Empower Payments basically cuts out all the BS that typically runs with credit card processing companies. And he makes a fraction of what the big companies make, but his company is small. So that fraction goes a lot farther in his company than anywhere else. And it's just a simple way to run credit cards.
I will say too, like I talk a lot about liking to deal with local and small businesses because I feel like I can call them and get an answer.
Yep.
I want great customer service, and if I got to pay extra for it, I will.
Yeah.
This is one of those cases where you get the great customer service, but it then saves you money at the same time, which never freaking happens.
And there was a time last summer where some big server, it wasn't AWS, there was another big server that went down that runs half of the websites in the U.S.
Server farm, yeah. I think it was AWS, wasn't it?
Well, AWS had an issue too. But there was a different one, and that server went down. He called me before we even opened. He called me in the 7 o'clock hour, the day it went down.
Hey, bro.
And he said, hey, just letting you know, we can't run credit cards until this server, like this server's taken out half the websites in the U.S. We can't run credit cards until this is back up and going. Just wanted to give you a heads up. And so now we have a whole hour before we open. And really probably 2 hours before we're going to try to collect anybody's payment to strategize how we're going to do this. Now we can get messages out to our guys to suggest that they offer to get checks, or if the customer wants to pay with a credit card, cool. We're just going to have to get all their info and the office will call them to collect later. Yeah. All of those things. You hear my son down there being a dick because he knows we're recording a podcast and he's revving his loud truck.
Well, it's because his parents don't give him any serious consequences. So
no, we give him a garage instead.
No, but yeah, when I go down there, I almost slap the shit out of him.
But the little decisions like who you pick for a credit card processor make all the difference in the world. And that's the dedication to, like, I want my company to do better than it anyone else's, right? Well, who would turn their nose up at $7,000 in profit a year? If I said, Dave, for a small little change that literally costs you nothing but earns you $7,000 a year in extra profit, would you do it?
Taking it all.
Like, who wouldn't do that, right? But most people get comfortable and they're like, well, it's so easy to run credit cards through our CRM and we're already set up and all this. And they don't realize that it's that mentality right there that is keeping them from getting their business to a point where they want it to be.
Yeah, it's not about the credit cards. It's about every decision you make.
Yes.
If it's just a little bit of extra work for you, it shows your lack of dedication inside of your business.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it takes. If you want it to be successful, like, really, if you want it to be one of the top five companies in your area, top 10, something like that, every little bitty tiny piece of extra effort is that you have to put in is what it takes to get there.
Yes.
And to the point of the show, like, you make business what you want business to be, right?
Yeah.
Well, do you want to be mediocre and in middle of the pack and have to fight for leads and worry about good employees leaving?
Yeah.
Because you're lazy?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to put in the extra effort of, oh, I have to process this credit card outside of a CRM. Really?
Yeah.
It's three freaking clicks. Are you telling me it's
no more difficult to process it outside of your CRM than when somebody writes you a check or hands you cash?
I know. And we're just using this as an example.
Yeah.
There are a myriad of other things that people just won't do. Well, I don't want to have to kill my marketing agency and then go to this marketing agency, even though they're charging me the same, but I'm not getting any, I'm not really disappointed in this marketing agency over here.
Right.
Well, how do you know that this one over here isn't going to bring you 10x leads?
Right.
Because you're comfortable.
Right.
And you're okay with it?
So
you're just basically saying, I'm okay with mediocre. Is that what you're telling me? Like, these are conversations we have inside of TradeWinds.
Yeah.
You're telling me you just want to be mediocre. Well, no. Well, then what the fuck are we going to do here?
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to have someone, like, really, you know, enforce that to you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to look in the mirror and be like, I've got to do something different here or this isn't going to work.
Well, all of those successful people that you look up to where they have successful businesses, it's because they removed their emotion from all the decisions and they made business decisions, right? It's a business decision to process credit cards outside of the CRM. It's a, like, I don't know how many people fight this battle. You have a fleet of trucks, you have employees driving those trucks, they get to take them home, and there's a lot of companies that battle cleanliness of the trucks. guys, I really need you to take your trucks and get them washed.
They don't want to. They don't want to make their employees upset. It's like, dude, come on.
Outside of that, it's just like your employees now having to take time out of their own day that they're not getting paid for to go wash your vehicle to help make your brand look better, right? And it's a constant fight, and it's a constant struggle, and it's a really big struggle. Like, employees have highs and lows. They have good days and bad days. And if you like, not saying you intentionally do this, but if your phone call to that employee's to suggest that, hey, you need to go wash your truck today because it looks like shit. If that lands during a low point for that employee, well, now that just took that employee even farther down, right? So, like, one of the things we do in our company is I bring in a mobile truck washing company, and when we have our Wednesday meetings, a mobile truck washing company washes all the vans in the parking lot while we're meeting. Now, does it cost me a touch more? Yes, it's $140 every time they wash the fleet. Okay.
I mean, you're spending $100 probably if you pay for the guys to wash them anyway.
Right.
$40 more bucks.
But now I get guaranteed clean trucks to my standard. I'm not, maybe Dave washes his truck a little bit better than Tom, and Tom washes his truck a little bit better than Bill, and Bill doesn't wash his truck for shit.
He doesn't even use the brush.
He basically just hits it with the wand and leaves, right? And so, like, these are arguments that you shouldn't have to have with your company. You wouldn't expect your guy to change his own oil. You wouldn't expect your guy to balance and rotate his own tires. So when it comes to fleet maintenance, why do you expect your guy to wash his own truck, right? And so we build the cost of truck washing into our pricing and everything else, but now I never have to have that conversation. And my guy gets a really clean truck to drive around town, something he's proud of, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to show up late to his kid's ball game because he got off work and his boss said, hey, before you go home, wash that truck because it looks like shit.
Yeah, wash your truck, dog.
Right. And so it's little decisions like that that totally change what your fleet looks like in the field. It totally changes what your brand appears to potential customers.
Yeah.
There's no fight. There's no nothing. And it's $140 every time we wash them. Like, little things like that make all the difference in the world. And a lot of times people make decisions for what they're going to do in business based off of what's easier instead of what's best.
Yeah.
And is it easier to do some things? Yes. But is it the best, right? Is it easier to process credit cards in your CRM? Yeah. But is it the best? I don't know. Like, we process over $1 million a year in credit cards. Yeah. So that scenario, we just ran off of $500,000.
That's 15 grand.
Now it's 15 grand a year.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a lot of money, dude.
Is it easier to process credit cards outside of the CRM? It's not any harder. But do I want an extra 15 grand at the end of the year?
Yeah.
5 years into business, now we're talking $75,000 of pure profit that I have over other companies because I made one decision a long time ago to process credit cards through Empower Payments.
Well, and it's the attention to detail talk, right?
Yes.
People want to they overlook attention to detail. Oh, everyone says it's attention to detail, attention to detail, attention. So people don't really take it seriously. It is. Attention to detail is analyzing every decision you make and deciding, is it good as an employee? Is it good for this job? Is it good that the gas valve is turned this way instead of this way?
Yeah.
Is it that I wiped all the pipe dope off my gas pipe? You know, did I sweep the floor?
Will my ball valve turn after I solder it near this 90 because the handle's going to hit the pipe?
Yeah. All of those little attention to detail things you did as a great employee, which mm-hmm. is why you're a business owner now, they still translate.
Yeah.
You still have to be carrying that same attention to detail in every little business decision.
Yep.
Is processing credit cards outside of it going to make me more money? Is it? Yes. Do we need more money? Of course we do. Maybe that's a decision I need to make.
Right.
Do I need to fire Joe because he's got a 50% conversion and it's 7 months now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably do. Do I like Joe? Yeah. Should I fire him anyway? Yeah, probably.
Right.
All of those little attention to detail things that we talk about in TradeWinds a lot, those are the foundational blocks that build a strong business.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds so easy and so cliche, but it's the fucking truth.
So,
you know, it just is.
One of the things, so you know, I've sold our company, but I still get clued in on a lot of the workings of the company.
Better be careful what you say here.
For March. So I've always, attention to detail, if our conversion, which means conversion rate is like number of calls we go to versus number of calls we make a sale on.
Yeah.
I've always said if our conversion rate is 80% or higher, then we aren't charging enough money. I need a 20% rejection rate to prove that we are charging the right amount for our services. In other words, I don't want to be the right price for 100% of the customers out there.
Yeah, that means you're leaving money on the
that
table.
That means you're leaving a lot of money on the table, right? So typically we run 67 to 70% conversion. This month, we are 12 business days into the month. Yesterday was March 17th. For the month, we're at an 85% conversion rate.
For you, I know your price isn't high. That means guys aren't offering big enough options.
Could be.
That'd be my guess for you.
I mean, our average ticket is very low.
Yeah.
Right? And so, but when you raise your price, your average ticket goes up. Your conversion rate drops.
Yeah.
And so on. But like there is a, you know, there's a conversation I'll need to have with our manager.
Yeah.
About that. And there is a, you can't let emotions come into that. As much as the manager would love to pat himself on the back and be like, look, I got our guys converting at 85%. Because like it's kind of a double-edged sword. You want to convert as high as you can, but you don't want to be over 80. And so here he is converting at 85%, but the average ticket is below standard.
Yeah.
And they're a direct correlation to each other. So I have to set my emotions aside and make a business decision about a conversation that I have to have with him to say, you know, look, I know you're proud of the 85% conversion, but look at the average ticket. That sucks. And this is what happens. When we convert 100% of our calls, our average ticket's in the toilet. When we convert 67% of our calls, our average ticket's awesome. And so it's little things like that, and it's attention to business detail, not emotional detail, that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, guys that are listening to the show, I just want to make this clear. If you're a one chuck in a truck, it's your business. Your conversion should be 95. We're talking about a team.
Yes.
Your employees' conversion. Theirs is going to be lower. A business owner who's running his own calls, if you're not closing at a 95% rate, you aren't good enough at that. Yeah. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah. So, like, we've gone through these. I still have all of my old trackings for when I first started our company in the first 3 months of our company, where I wanted to leave no stone unturned. I wanted to make every customer happy. And I was willing to wheel and deal and discount and everything, because when you're brand new in business, you need happy customers. You don't have a brand that can get recognized out in the marketplace, so you need word-of-mouth referrals. The only way to get a word-of-mouth referral is make a customer happy. The only way to make a customer happy is sell them something. It's required. Like, I can't make you happy unless I sell you something.
Yeah.
Right? If you need a new water heater, your water heater's shot, and I come out there and I don't sell you a water heater, you're going to buy one from somebody else. I didn't make you happy. Somebody else did.
Yeah.
So I have to make you happy, and I have to sell you something to do it. I'm willing to wheel and deal on that water heater because I need happy customers so I can get referrals. Yeah.
Well, you don't have overhead. You want referrals so that you get more customers.
Right.
Like that is a completely different conversation than what Mitch is talking about.
Yeah. When you have a team of people, you've got a brand presence in the marketplace and all of those things, that's when the rules kind of change a little bit and you need to start honoring those rules. And emotionally accepting poor performance, to me, 85% conversion is poor performance when it's coupled with a below standard average ticket.
Yeah. If he was at 85%, but his average ticket was $2,500, you'd be like, dude, fuck yeah, bro.
At that point, it's a no brainer.
Yeah.
We have to raise our prices.
Yeah. Especially if that's over a 3 month span.
Right.
It's like, okay, all right.
And so I have to make a business decision and a business conversation instead of an emotional conversation, right? But all of those things happen where we get lazy, we get comfortable, and a non-in-tune business owner would be like, yeah, look at that, we're converting at 85%, and they would find a way to convince themselves that's good.
Yeah.
And you have to look at it objectively based off of what we know works. And what we know works is conversions under 80%.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, you have to, in business, you have to decide what you want, and you have, it's not you have to decide what you're willing to do to get it, because what you think you're going to have to do to get it is usually a fraction of what you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
You have to decide not to give up until you achieve it. That's a whole different thing of deciding what I'm willing to do to give it. For instance, if I say I want a six pack is all about diet and exercise, right? More so diet than exercise. Well, if I say I want a six pack, and so I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week, I'm going to do cardio and run 15 miles a week, and I'm going to do this ab routine, and I'm going to do this diet. Well, foolish of you to think you knew exactly how to create a six pack without ever creating one, right? So if that recipe doesn't work to create the six pack abs that you want, you can't just be like, well, I guess a six pack isn't for me. No, you have to, that's not what you're like. You were willing to do that, making a decision. I'm willing to work out 5 days a week and run 15 miles a week and all of this. That if that's not going to result in the results that you want, now you have to go back and alter, refuse to give up for one, and then alter what you were willing to do. I still don't have the six pack. Maybe I'm still consuming too many calories. Maybe my cardio is not dialed in enough.
Maybe I'm eating the wrong calories.
Maybe I'm not eating enough protein. Maybe I'm eating too much fat. All of these things, right? And so there's a difference between deciding what you're willing to do and then just deciding never to give up, right? Rocky.
Yeah, completely
classic,
different.
Classic example, Rocky. He didn't decide what he was willing to do to win the championship. He decided, I'm not fucking giving up. And yeah. I'm standing back up after every time Apollo Creed knocks me down.
Yeah.
Or that switch,
oh, you're right.
The Russian guy. Who was the Russian guy?
I don't remember.
Ivan Drago. Right?
The fact that is crazy.
If he dies, he dies. Right?
Yeah.
That's what I tell my engine whenever I'm running it at Redline.
if
it dies, it dies.
If it dies, it dies.
But like, Rocky is a classic example of he knew he was going to have to put in a bunch of work up front, but the decision wasn't how much work I'm willing to put in. The decision was the fact that I'm not giving up until I achieve what I want to achieve. And that's what you have to do in business if you want that. Now, if you don't want that and you just want a kind of a lifestyle business that pays you a little bit more than what you were making working for somebody else, great.
I mean, that's fine too.
Don't lie to people and say, oh, I want to be the biggest in the area one day when you absolutely don't.
Yeah.
Right? If you truly want to be the biggest in the area one day, then you have to decide, I will stop at nothing to do it. And everything I think I'm going to have to do in order to achieve it is only it's one-fifth of what I'll actually have to do.
Yeah.
Right? So back to that six-pack thing. If you think you can consume 2,000 calories a day and get a six-pack, and after a month of consuming 2,000 calories, your physique hasn't changed at all, well, then you're either not burning enough or you're eating too many calories. So you have to change something.
Yeah.
You don't just give up.
Yeah.
You have to change something, right? So I have a quest to have a six-pack again by summer. I've got about 2 months to do it, and I'm really dialing it up because
you're making me feel so bad about my own health right now.
Well, my regimen that I've been doing for the last couple of months wasn't enough. I'm not seeing a drop in body fat. I'm not seeing a drop in...
Maybe you should listen to your friend Dave.
Your advice was to drink vodka all day.
No, that was not my advice. My advice was to drink vodka and run.
Yeah, see...
Cardio. Because you're built different. You're a shoulders guy.
What's funny,
guy,
though...
You got to fucking run, dude.
How many...
Stairmaster, elliptical, whatever.
Yes.
Cardio.
It's got to be low-intensity cardio to build a six-pack, right? There's a lot of skinny fat runners out there.
Never seen one.
How many cyclists do you see with a beer belly? Right.
That's because they need that tank to pull from when they're cycling like for 4 miles.
But
so,
like,
you know,
there's a lot of endurance runners out there that don't have a six pack. And it's because, again, they need the energy tank, right?
Yeah.
So running necessarily isn't the key. That's why I never run longer than a 5K.
You know what? Don't,
when I go run, I run 3.2 miles and that's it.
Don't eat for 3 days and run every day. You'll have a six pack.
I don't know if I could run after not eating for 3 days.
Dude, I'm going to tell you what. I am, full transparency, I am in the worst shape I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
I just haven't.
We go through ebbs and flows.
Ever since I got out of the field,
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, eh.
Yeah.
Like, I still work out a little bit.
I'll leave
bit.
Here and go to the gym when we're done podcasting.
I still do stuff. You know, I'm not lazy.
Yeah.
But it's like going from burning 2,500 to 3,000 calories a day to needing 1,500.
Yep.
Like, you're just not as in a, as good a shape as you used to be.
Yeah.
Your muscles hurt. You know, you're not as active.
Yeah.
I got to start doing something.
Yeah. I'm
not going to the gym with you, crazy.
For me, it was like I'm literally living through this right now as I'm trying to have a six pack for summer. Is like, okay, I committed to myself and I told myself I'm going to do these things and I'll have a six pack by summer. Well, I'm halfway there and I'm not seeing the results I want. So do I give up?
No, you listen to Dave. You drink vodka and you go run.
Or do I refuse to give up and I go change and I eat less and I work out more?
I'm going to get you a shirt made that just says, I should have listened to Dave. And you just wear it from now on the podcast.
Oh, you mean like the banner that Ray got you? That's still never in the made it.
I office. Need to hang it up. I know. I need to hang it up so bad. I look. First off, one of the coolest moments in Trade Winds that I've had personally was that.
Yeah.
Was at the event.
For those that don't know, we have a guy in Trade Winds. His name's Ray. He is hilarious. He has a sense of humor that is incredibly rare. He is very quick-witted.
And he's not only that, he's like would literally, if I called him and I said, Ray, I need the shirt you're wearing, I need you to mail it to me, he'd have it in the mail within an hour and a half.
And
would do anything for you.
And if it were...
Great dude.
If it were a day where the mail wasn't running, he would get in his Tahoe and drive it here.
Probably.
And he that lives in upstate New York.
Guy's crazy as hell.
But yeah, Ray and Dave have this long-standing thing where anytime they're on a Zoom call together, it always starts with, fuck you, Ray, and fuck you, Dave. And all right, now that we got that out of the way, let's talk work.
Yeah.
And so at our last event that we did in Indy, Ray made a billboard and surprised it in the front of the group that just said, fuck you, Dave.
It's fantastic.
And then everyone got a laugh and a chuckle out of it. Ray pulls off his T-shirt and he's wearing an undershirt that says, fuck you, Dave.
I have framed the sign. I just don't, and it's... For those that aren't in Trade Winds, we do our calls via Zoom, so you can see my backdrop. I'm going to frame it, or it's framed. I just need to hang it on the wall.
Yeah.
So it's one of the coolest things I've gotten from our guys. Yeah. And we get all kinds of fun stuff: shirts, booze, hats, all kinds of fun shit.
Here, hold on.
What? Oh, you want the first thing ever?
No. So
what's that?
So we got Davidson Home Technologies. He's a former Trade Winds member.
Oh, Miller.
So we got his hat. Here we got Sean Lesperance. He's got a really cool logo. It's got like American flags on it and stuff.
Yeah, he's just south of Seattle.
Yep. Gave us some swag there. He's in Trade Winds. So
we still have, this was the first thing we ever got.
Yeah, the Zazarac whiskey.
George Diaz sent us Zazarac whiskey and I saved the bottle.
Yep.
It was the first thing we ever got.
So
that and a king cake.
Yeah. I think Austin got the baby back when we had Austin doing the show.
I don't remember,
but
I've never had that much sugar in one bite in my life, dude. I thought I was going to fucking have a heart attack.
It reminded me of like a honey bun.
Yeah.
Growing up.
On crack.
On crack, yeah.
A honey bun on crack.
But
for those that think we're not sentimental, we are.
The like ultimately, you just have to decide I'm not giving up, and you have to decide that I'm going to go all in. Like, if you went all in for 90 days, 90 days is 3 months.
Dude, okay? You can accomplish almost anything.
You could darn near double the size. If you gave your business total focus, you could darn near double its size. Especially if you're small.
Yeah.
That means if you're a one-truck operation, you just now have two trucks.
Can I get you to do that for Trade Winds?
It's a little different with Trade Winds.
knew it was coming.
Yeah.
You set yourself up for that T-ball.
But like if you go all in, imagine all in, no regrets, no giving up. You will do whatever it takes. You will do five times more than you think it will take. Just imagine where you'd be on the other side of 90 days if you went all in.
Yeah.
And so that's ultimately what we're looking at in the purpose of this show is to recognize that you are in control of your own destiny. Nobody got a handout. Nobody got a fortune. Nobody got... what's the trust fund?
Yeah.
Like those cases are ultra rare. Do not let those cases discourage you.
Yeah.
Right.
And if someone you know has a trust fund and is giving you business advice, tell them to fuck off.
Right.
Because they don't know where you're coming from.
How much is your trust fund?
Zero.
Yeah.
So when my dad dies, I'm going to get a bill.
Right. So I have a buddy of mine.
And I love my pops, but damn it.
I have a buddy of mine. His name, and I've never met him in person. But his name's Jason Gerdner. He owns a company called Tacobi, and it's a software company for like auto dealerships. But he drives exotic cars.
Can he tune mine?
No.
Damn it.
No. Now he could tell you who to go to. But he's got McLarens. He's got he's got like multiple exotic cars.
Nice shit.
And he's also a very good, like, find him on Facebook and find him on Instagram and find him on TikTok. Jason Girdner, G-I-R-D-N-E-R. But he is a great inspiration to follow because he gets tons of shade from some low testosterone dudes that think that they're doing the world a favor by trying to put down somebody that's doing more than they are. But he calls out his haters. He'll screenshot their hateful comments and he'll screenshot their profile pictures. And he basically just calls them out. And he's like, I don't know why people do this, but I'm going to call them out every time because this is the price of success. And like, he's getting ready to sell his company for somewhere between 20 and 50 million.
Nice.
And
maybe I should be friends with this guy. What's his name?
Jason Girdner. But he's a great inspiration to follow because he doesn't do the typical Instagram flex. He like four times a year, he'll post a photo. His dad died. His dad gave him every possession he had, which was a wallet that had like $7 in it.
Brutal.
That's what his dad got.
I joke about
that's
my
what
dad.
He got from his dad when his dad died.
Yeah.
And so like he didn't even have enough to pay for his own funeral. Jason had to bury his dad.
Brutal.
Like pay for it, right? And so everyone likes to say, oh, a trust fund kid, or oh, this, or oh, that. And it's like, oh, yeah. Here, and he'll flash the photo. Here's what my dad left me. This old ratty wallet with a driver's license and $7.
You know
in
what,
it.
Though? I bet he still got it.
Yeah,
I bet
guaranteed.
It sits on his nightstand, and every day he wakes up and looks over, and he goes, my kids ain't going to get that.
Because he put in the work. Yeah.
Every day. That's what I do. That motherfucker would be sitting on my nightstand.
Just last week, he posted a photo of him having an eye patch, like gauze over one eye, as he was building his software. He stayed up for so many days straight coding that his eye started bleeding.
Jesus.
Because he didn't go to bed.
That's like my brother. He has to wear these blue blockers constantly now because he's just in there with his eyes open. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Those guys are nuts.
Yeah. But like, that's the, you think he gave up whenever he was like, well, I thought it was going to be this. And no, it took five times as much coding as I thought. He didn't give up. He stuck with it, right?
And now I'll write code for you. It's fucking insane.
Oh, well, he's totally using all that.
Oh, I know.
He's leveraging
now.
All of it. Yeah. But like, that's the level of stick-to-itiveness that it takes. You have to stick to it. You can't.
I love it. Is that a real word? If it's not,
I just made it.
You should put it in the dictionary.
Put it in the Wikipedia. So
wrap us up, Mitch. I'm tired, man.
Basically, choose to go all in. Don't just choose to go all in on a whim right now and just do it. Put a little bit of time and effort and thought into it. Choose some things that you're going to let go of for 90 days. Choose some things that you're going to go all in for 90 days. Develop the discipline to fucking do it and just make it happen.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers the guy that kind of went one toe in the water.
No.
They do remember the guy that went all in and has the results to show for it. So go all in and have something to show for it that you can be proud of.
What do they say? How long does it take to develop a habit?
21 days or something like that.
It's not that long, guys.
Yeah. It's really not that long.
If you can do it for a month, you're set. If you can do it for 3 months,
yeah,
you've got what it takes.
Yep. So
good stuff.
Until next time, we will see you.
Thanks.